Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, welcome everybody to today's show. It is so good to be back. And I have with me in studio the writer Phyllis Cole Dye, who uses storytelling, poetry, music, and the spoken word to nurture radical attention and belonging. I'm grateful for her newest work, which we are going to be diving into and exploring. The book is entitled Staying Power, Writings from a Pandemic Year. Welcome, Phyllis, to the show.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back, Kara. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad to be connecting with everybody who's listening to it.
It's wonderful to have you. Phyllis, this has been quite a year. I did have you on a show a few months ago, but since then, things have continued to unfold and unravel. In March 18th, 2020, you launched a weekly free newsletter called Staying Power. And your intent, I believe, at that time, as it is probably now, is to offer a virtual care package for the pandemic, words and inspiration from the arts to get us through this together. Did you ever imagine when you started writing that blog that we would still be where we are 18 months later and there's no end in sight for our global pandemic?
Exactly. I believe it was in March of this year or shortly before that I thought, well, you know, with the advent of the vaccinations and so on, I think things are slowing down. Let's change the subtitle of this newsletter from a care package for the pandemic to just a care package from Phyllis Cole Dye. Mm-hmm. That was premature, as it turns out.
Yeah. It was. It was, but we couldn't have known that. We couldn't have known how long the shift is happening, right? And yet it seems as if we are learning things. And I think that's why your book is so precious. It seems that there are these golden nuggets that are found within this whole time of slowing down, of learning how to transform anxiety into perhaps creativity, of understanding the loss and the fragility, and how this is also perhaps gives us space for deeper understanding. At some point, you decided to take all these blog posts and the writings and put it into a book form, which made me very happy because I could take you to the lake and I could take you to the forest and I could leave all my electronics at home and unplug. So I am really grateful that you not only have ebooks out there, but you have the real deal. You can hold it in your hand and have it in the kitchen while you make a coffee. It's a beautiful thing. What did that mean for you, putting all of these blogs, all of these posts, all these poems, all these prayers into book form? And what is staying power? That's the title of the book. What does staying power mean for you personally?
Very good question, because I thought that was a phrase that everybody was familiar with, and I found out not so. I grew up with this phrase on the family farm back in Ohio, And it was a phrase that I think it was my dad used, and it referred to our ability to keep at a task that had to be done, no matter how tired we got or how impossible it seemed. And so it wasn't just about the ability of the body to keep going. It was mm-hmm. also about the spirit's resilience and courage and so on. And to start with the assumption that you had what it took to get you to the next place you needed to go. And just chunk it down that way. And it felt like a phrase that was describing what I was using to get through the pandemic, and it seemed appropriate to name the newsletter for the pandemic in that way. My son just headed off for college, and as he has been growing up, you know, we've talked about how the way that we practice resilience and courage and all these deep values during the little struggles of our lives prepare us for the struggles that seem major. And so we can't wait until we're confronted with the pandemic, you know, to start practicing these things. But a pandemic can lead us deeper into the practices that we know that our spirits need and our bodies too.
That is so true. And having grown up in a farm or on a farm in Wisconsin, I also know this staying power where you couldn't sleep late because the cows basically had to be milked, right? Or you had to go out on the fields in the right weather to sow, or you didn't have time to rearrange it with your perfect schedule. I mean, that's mm-hmm. also this idea that everything has its timing and we have to stay with it until it's finished, right? Honor the flow. You have this beautiful line and this beautiful poem that I want you to read for us. And it's a poem that is called For the Sake of the One We Love, correct? Am I shortening that title here?
For the sake of the one we love and are losing,
right. And you have this line that is, it lifted something. We will hang old wounds upon distant stars whose light can absorb their weight. I mean, thank you for that. We will hang old wounds upon distant stars whose light can absorb their weight. When I read it, I already felt lighter because we have the ability, and we forget this sometimes, and there's a lot of this in the work that you do about community and collectively, and also remembering if we go and hug a tree, we might feel lighter. If we can allow ourselves to realize that this is a bigger journey that we're on. This is a bigger mystery. We don't always understand things. We don't always have the answers. And that also can be relaxing in a way to say, I don't have the answers, and that's okay. And now we do the practice of gratitude. Resilience, yeah. Right?
The practice of not knowing.
The practice of not knowing. The practice of saying, I don't know how I arrived, and I know I'm here, and I also don't know where I'm going at the end of the all, and to celebrate that. Would you love to read For the Sake of the Ones We Love and Are Losing?
I would be happy to read that. And would you like me to tell any of the story briefly behind this poem?
Yeah, I think it came to you in a dream, correct?
It did. I was, this was in February of 2020. So it was before we knew that the pandemic had come to the U.S., although it had. Mm-hmm. And I was working on a novel in progress in a private retreat. And in the middle of the night, this poem came to me as a gift. I had to do a little tinkering with it when I got home from retreat and realized that it wasn't just a pile of things that made no sense, you know. But I really can't take credit for this. This is a gift from the muse, and it with the pandemic hitting right after that, and then we lost my dad to the pandemic. So this poem has really strong resonance with our family and with a lot of other folks. So I offer this to everybody who is grieving.
Thank you.
For the sake of one we love and are losing. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will not be afraid. But when we are afraid, we will embrace what we fear as if it were a lost child crying in our arms. We will not walk away from what needs to be seen and cared for. We will not walk away. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will praise. We will speak words of light. We will let our thoughts rise like a ring of smoke widening into blue sky. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will let go the things we do not understand. We will set regrets like candles upon the still waters to float away on their own time. We will hang old wounds upon distant stars whose light can absorb their weight. All these will pass beyond our need to see. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will not cling. We will hold the hand gently. We will wrap the body with fresh linens. We will lay our head upon the shoulder. We will bless the forehead with tears and kisses. All that has gone unspoken, because it could not be said before, will be said by this. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will suffer the final limits of our devotion. Death we cannot control, death we cannot fix. This is the rock upon which we are split. We cannot rise, yet still we will rise to do the one more impossible thing. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will ready ourselves to be more alone. This is not a betrayal of the beloved. It is acceptance of the branching paths on the journey shared. Before the great farewell, we will break bread together. We will draw water from the well and lift it to one another's lips. What we need is here. Each day that we have danced and endured, every certain step and stumble has prepared us for just this. We will be present within the goodbye, so long as it lasts. We do not know how perfectly we can love through our imperfections. We cannot know what we are made of until they who have helped make us leave us. For the sake of one we love and are losing, we will go. We will make our parting, not knowing how. The road ends just ahead, but the land goes on. The land goes on like mercy, out and around forever.
Oh, so stunning. So stunning, Phyllis. Such a great gift that was given to us through you. I love these lines too. We will be present within the goodbye so long as it lasts. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Mm-hmm. You shared with me before we went on air that you had just written a blog about grief, the grief that comes in waves. It's so layered. And I was thinking that in olden days, in days gone by, and in many countries still, but not often in the Western world, the people gathered around the fire and they sang and they chanted the names and they held onto each other and they broke bread together in these times. And it just seems, especially in this pandemic, that we've had to deal with so much grief without having that communal share. And and yet we need it. And we need it to collectively move forward. We need to grieve. We can't just, you know, put on a new podcast about grief. I mean, we need to feel it. We need to feel it in our bodies. What do you suggest from your own, I mean, every life, every moment is different, but from your own experience, walking on these paths, the paths with the land all around us, what are some of the tools that you've used to go through grief?
Well, I had an opportunity to experience pandemic grief with my family after my dad died this past January. And this does not make me an expert, but I can tell you a few things. One is that we find such solace, you know, in the customary ways of grieving, which you just were discussing. But if those are not available to us, can we be inventive? Can we be creative? And so in our family's case, you know, we cobbled together an online video memorial service that has been attended by hundreds and hundreds of people because they can get there on their own time and they just have to go to their computer or their phone. People who would never have been able to attend my dad's memorial service under other conditions, you know. So it wasn't the same, but there was something satisfying about it because the family put it together and we had to talk through it, you know, and involve other people. And I think another thing is that when you feel the muse talking to you, sometimes it isn't a dramatic dream that comes, but a little inspiration, you know, you have a nudge to reach out to someone, to send a card to someone, to say, can I drop off something at your home? Or I was just thinking about you and I don't know what to say, but I'm just calling you to be quiet with you on the line if that's what you need. You know, to listen to that nudge from wherever you think it comes instead of saying, I'm too busy.
Yeah.
You know, we have to, I think right now, especially when we're so tired, make an effort to prioritize our grieving together. Yeah. Because otherwise we're all kind of left on these islands by ourselves, feeling so isolated and nowhere to express what we're feeling, no way to express it. We have to be very creative and prioritize that reaching out to each other.
Beautifully said. Phyllis, we're going to take a very, very short break and we're going to be back with more on staying power.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, Schedule one-on-one time and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio is Phyllis Cole Dye, and today it is all about her new book, Staying Power. Phyllis, these words are actually in the front of your book, and they're from Maya Angelou, and they say, to dare to love deeply, to risk everything for the good thing. What images come to mind when you hear those words from Miss Angelou?
So many. They just flood in. I think yesterday I was watching a report about the firemen in New York City, mm-hmm. who on 9/11, knowing that the first tower had collapsed after the plane hit, went into the second tower to try to rescue as many people before the second tower collapsed. Mm-hmm. They knew their chances of survival were next to nothing, mm-hmm. and they still went in. They risked everything for the good. You know, so that image is really fresh in my mind. And, you know, a lot of us will not own the fact that we have courage, that we too can do what seems impossible. Mm-hmm. But, you know, especially in these times, we are revealing an empathy and courage deficit. Many of us, even as there are people who are essential workers, who are on the front line, who are begging us to do the right thing. And we have so little to risk, you know. Mm-hmm. And so these are things that immediately come to my mind. How about you?
Yeah, I think the same is to realize that there's a lot of talk in therapy about borders and drawing boundaries and staying in protected spaces. And I guess I know the safe place, but for me, my greatest moments of growth was when I did risk for love, for reaching out and you know, telling somebody I love you, even though I may have been looked like, you know, might have looked like a fool for, I just think of moments where I risked. I mean, I came all the way over to Germany with two suitcases, you know, for, to risk for, yeah, the good thing. I think it's, you know, any artist who just stays dedicated to living truth, beauty, practicing everyday meditation, I think, even though it doesn't make sense. I mean, I was going to talk to you about it at the end of the interview, but we can talk about it now too. You know, our youth, I mean, we're not only in a pandemic, we're also in a global crisis as far as our planet. You were talking about the firemen. And as you said that, I was thinking about the firemen in California. I was thinking about the firemen that were in Athens, Greece. I was thinking about the firemen from France that flew to Greece to help put out the fires. And these are only firemen. Of course, we have nurses and doctors and so many people and teachers and so many people that are risking everything for the good thing. And how do we support our youth to see that good thing? Because what I've heard from a lot of people is, you know, the suicide rates have just exploded. And how can we get back to that place to love so deeply I've been lucky to have experienced it, that 1 minute of pure, unconditional love can heal every bone in your body, right? I mean, it's really amazing, the power of love. So how can we support each other to focus also on the good things and not only the fear of waters rising and fires burning, and so that we can risk more? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just seems like I think a lot of us are cocooning and we just feel like we can't risk for the hope and for the love and for the planet, because there's so much fear that we're not able to process. But if we had spaces of writing groups or music or singing or community, it would be much easier to feel that goodness. And then we could risk even more for each other.
Well, there's a lot in what you've just said. A couple things come to my mind. One is that sometimes we have to be in the cocoon. It's too much. But when we're in the cocoon, I think we have to each day ask ourselves, is it time to emerge? The whole of our lives is a rhythm between going into the cocoon and coming out again, but we can get stuck in both places. And so there has to be, I think, some kind of a balance that's struck there. Another thing that occurred to me as you were talking is that with our young people, we need to talk less. We need to be more with them help them uncover what is already inside them. And a lot of times they are more in tune with the good than we are, but we aren't letting them live out their attunement, or we're not paying attention to them as they do. And so they end up feeling estranged, alienated, like they don't belong. And sometimes the most unconditional love cannot bring them back after they reach a certain point. I just had a dear friend whose son, just a couple years younger than my own, committed suicide a month ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for lack of being loved.
Right.
But a lack of feeling like he didn't belong in this world.
Yeah.
And the only way that we can help people to belong is to show them they belong. It's beyond words. When I took Nathan to college, his move-in day, it was said, diversity is a fact. Inclusion is a choice. So how do we choose to include? How do we actively include? And to ask ourselves, who is missing? What is missing? When we're up against a problem that's needing to be solved, something is missing. Do we have the eyes, the ears to understand what that something is?
Right. Phyllis, you also you also celebrated. You're no longer in the youth phase. Maybe you did celebrate your 58th. This year I celebrated my 57th, so we're very close.
Okay.
And you wrote a poem called on my 58th birthday, 58 pandemic prayers. Would you do the honor of also reading this? Because there are so many lines that I think touch on so much that we've been talking about.
Yeah, I'll be happy to read it. The funny thing is that I just jotted these things down. I didn't mean it as a poem, but people received it as a list poem, and then so it became a list poem. But on my 58th birthday, 58 pandemic prayers. May we all survive to another birthday. May we greet the sun each morning and rejoice in being alive. May we breathe the miracle of fresh air. May we honor every moment as a chance to begin anew. May we root our faith in richer soil than worry. May we let separation knit us close. May we see faces besides our own in the mirror. May we recognize all people as kin. May we cherish them as much as ourselves. May we stay home to keep them safe. May we nurture the body that houses our soul. May we have adequate shelter, food, water, medicine, and rest. May we share freely from our abundance. May we resist the temptation to hoard. May we ask for help without hesitation or shame. May we draw comfort from the company of animals, flowers, and trees. May we befriend the sounds of silence. May we welcome the intimacies of solitude. May we dive to the depths of our being and bring up blessings we didn't know we had. May we be sanctuary for one another. May we refuse to dwell in the blindness of denial, indifference, or contempt. May we tame our temper and carry no grudge. May we empathize even with those we dislike. May we gift one another with radical attention. May we listen to one another as if lives depend on it. May we speak as if our voice will be the last sound ever heard. May we explore how to touch without touching, how to hold without holding. May we not be embarrassed by tears and trembling. May we learn from our children the joy of unstructured time and the solace of routines. May we reassure our children about the monsters beneath their beds. May we create new rituals of togetherness. May we laugh from our bellies. May we cultivate wonder. May we help our society to do better than it has done. May we examine problems from all angles and talk straight as lines. May we base decisions on collective wisdom rather than contagious fear. May we invest our trust in those who are experts, not those who pretend. May we value health over wealth. May we dedicate our daily work both to those we love and to the common good. May we sustain those workers whose invisible labor sustains us all. May we protect those who put themselves at risk to protect us. May we transform the impossible into the doable. May we inquire into the welfare of strangers. May we stand up for those who are scapegoated and targeted by hate. May we sing porch to porch until all the world is our neighbor. May we drop expectations of how hard or long this road will be. May we pace ourselves as we go. May we each shoulder more of the load so that nobody stumbles beneath it. May we prepare ourselves for the unknown. May we follow the light of our brightest prayers. May we live together into better versions of ourselves. May we plant the seeds of a new world in what remains of the old one. May we remember in the dark hours that we're not alone. May we let no one die forsaken in pain or untouched by kindness. May we grieve the lost, though we cannot gather. May we do right by their memory. May we not waste a minute of the precious time they should have had. May we love one another as we would be loved. May our children survive us all.
So many words of wisdom. So many words of wisdom. The one that touched me while I was reading it the first time I read it was, may we pace ourselves. Or I just realized for myself, this year has slowed down, and at the same time it feels like there's a great need for cocooning, integration, rest, meditation, reflection. So let's just go into a break and let this poem let's savor it and just think 58 beautiful prayers, each one a little gem, and then we'll be back with Phyllis Cole Dye.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstein, and with me in studio is Phyllis Cole Dye, and we are talking all about Staying Power, her newest release, talking about living a creative life. Phyllis, you are a writer, but you are also a peace activist. You are also a musician. You are also a mom and a wife and all those wonderful things. It seems like poetry is pulling you in the moment, although you have so many other talents. What does poetry itself mean to you?
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Well, poetry is drawing me. I mean, when the muse came with For the Sake of One We Love and Are Losing, it really kind of blew the doors off a part of me that I had been hiding, which was mm-hmm. the poet. And the problem is I don't have enough hours in the day, and I have a novel I need to finish. So it's kind of an interesting puzzle, how to put all the pieces together when you have no borders to go by. Mm-hmm. But poetry is, for me, a form of literature. And doesn't have to be literature, can be spoken, oral tradition too, can be sung too. Mm-hmm. But it the phrasing of it pulls me into deeper attention. Mm-hmm. And because of that quality of attention that you pay to the line or to the words that come out in a single breath, I dwell in the words in a different way than if I'm reading prose. Although I kind of like to try to bring that same poetic quality into the prose that I write. Mm-hmm. But when you have the attention of the poet in the gift of the poem, meeting the attention of the reader of the poem, there is a sort of alchemy that can happen that can deepen one's life, deepen one's capacity for beauty, for wonder, for compassion, for empathy, for patience. I don't know exactly why it works that way, but poetry has been with us in some form for as long as human beings have been around. And so I think there has to be an explanation for that, about we respond to it. And it is so condensed and it's so short. You know, we read a couple of my longer poems here,
yeah,
but they are still things that you can absorb relatively quickly. And when times are tough, when the climate is wreaking havoc and the pandemic is raging and the politics are sordid and the racial justice is suffering. I mean, all these things that are going mm-hmm. on, to be able to absorb a short bit of beauty that can reflect to us our own potentials, our own weaknesses, our own humanity, and something that lies perhaps beyond humanity shimmers through all of that. Because where does the gift of the poem come from, ultimately? We can't explain it, right?
Right.
Or that right. The land of the imagination or whatever. So there is good medicine, I think. Now, I will say that not all poetry affects me that way. I like poetry that is accessible and sensory and wise and shimmering with some kind of radiance. And what that will be for each person is a little different. But for me, I can I have a stash of these kinds of poems that I turn to when the going gets rough, you know.
Yeah, it's as if truth and beauty has distilled itself in the most beautiful fragrance. I think also, I mean, as a songwriter also, I'm always amazed, you know, there's a gift to be writing a, you know, 300-page book, but it's also there's a gift in being able to come to the essence in 30 seconds or a minute or... Mm. And mm-hmm. and it's just, and I was thinking while you were talking, also words, right? We all carry words. We all understand what words feel like when they, you know, they tumble out through our tongue. You know, we all understand words. And so maybe that is also where poetry is so, it penetrates us, because when we read it, we hear it and we hear those words and they enter us. They enter our cells because we are language and we are rhythm, differently maybe than a piece of sculpture, which is also stunning. But we know words, and when somebody says, For example, I'm going to lead into your next poem, but maybe I don't even have it here. But because when you open the poem that I'd love you to read is, I'm writing this poem because it's all I can do. And mm-hmm. even in that simple line, we understand where you're at. Mm-hmm. Right? We can feel inside of you. We have the empathy to know that you're turning to a pen in this moment, because that's all that you can do. You can't, you know, put on a big pageant or throw a wedding or you know what I'm saying? I love this next word. I can't set the world right. I can't put out the wildfires, but I can turn to creativity. I can turn to poetry. I can sit and practice, maybe transformation or moving words around until my spirit finds a little bit of ease. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, feel free to. Let's start with a poem. I mean, you wrote this beautiful poem. It's also a little bit of a list poem, right?
It is. You've got a theme going here.
I got a theme
poem
going. I didn't even realize it. Wow.
And you know, this is sort of the same thing. You know, I just jotted these down because I was feeling overwhelmed, and this is something that your listeners can do. When you're feeling overwhelmed, just sit and list everything that needs to come out of you. And it's a great release, you know. And then if you want to do something more with it, you can edit it if you want to. Let's start with a poem.
Let's start with a poem. Exactly.
Yes, I'm writing this poem because it's all I can do. I can't set the world right. I can't put out the wildfires. I can't calm the hurricanes. I can't lower the oceans. I can't hold back the floods. I can't end the pandemic. I can't heal the sick. I can't raise the dead. I can't cancel the debts. I can't hire those without work. I can't house the homeless. I can't feed the hungry multitudes. I can't keep the school children safe. I can't relieve the droughts on the farms. I can't stop the violence in the cities. I can't pretend that color doesn't matter. I can't wash away the sins of slavery. I can't get racist knees off dark-skinned necks. I can't return this land to its original peoples. I can't tear down the border wall. I can't uncage the children. I can't restore their mother's stolen wombs. I can't deflate the conspiracy theories. I can't spin all the lying into truth. I can't make new enemies become old friends again. I can't build peace out of scraps of hate. But I will still try to find words for this poem. This is how we can begin.
I love that, Phyllis. I really do. And I don't know. I think I love that simply is because it's that easy to make it, to cultivate wonder, to start with the pen and to... it's true. It's a list poem, but when I read that, I guess it touched me because we do try, or at least I try, I speak for myself, to want to solve all the things you listed, if not many more. We want to calm the hurricanes, and we spend hours sometimes even talking about it, you know, violence and the racial injustice, and it's important. They're important talks. But sometimes it's just good to remember to take a few moments to breathe. And mm-hmm. yeah.
There's also a shift in the poem between the I and the we, you know. Yeah. And that's very intentional too, that all of this is going to be overwhelming if we look at it as individuals. Yeah. But if we each do our part, starting where we are, and that gets magnified and amplified, you know. All we can do is each put out the good we can into the world. not because we have to, but because we want to and we get to.
We get to, right? I mean, we're here for a limited time, so I guess we get to choose. We don't know how long it will be. That's a little bit with those lines again, with, you know, the staying power of staying with what is.
Yeah.
And so do you have any tips for cultivating wonder? I mean, you're obviously a writer. I mean, do you give writing courses? I mean, I can imagine you're so busy between novels and books of poetry and everything else, but do you have poetry groups that you teach?
No, I don't have much time or inclination to teach. I do facilitate some creative groups that are very informal, but I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I am here primarily to create, not to teach.
Yeah.
There are so many good teachers out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Okay. This last year also was a year for many of us to dig out our instruments. I know you play piano. I also play piano, but I dug out my flute from high school. You do have a story, also a beautiful story, about a gentleman who took out his clarinet.
And yes.
It's a beautiful piece in staying power. How did music help you to cope these last months? Or did you also take out your, I don't know, do you also have another instrument besides the piano? Or did you find yourself reviewing old music that you used to play as a teenager or as a kid, just kind of reconnecting with certain spaces?
Well, one of the beautiful things was that my son, who was a senior last year, you know, he was home a lot. And he plays the cello. And so we would do some piano cello duets together. And then I had someone who knew that I was writing this novel about a clarinet and who had read about Peter and his clarinet, the story that you referenced that is in Staying Power, offered me an old clarinet. And I played clarinet in high school, and I absolutely detested the instrument when I was playing. And the conductor of the band let me do other instruments instead sometimes. So I have gone back to the clarinet now and am developing an appreciation for it that I didn't have before. And but just trying something new, you know, to remind myself that I'm always a beginner. It's a humbling thing, you know, and a liberating thing, just reminding myself that I don't know it all and I'm not supposed to know it all. And I know what can fit in a thimble and it will drain out eventually if I don't keep refilling it. So.
Yeah, beautiful. I mean, I think that the beginner's mind is something to cherish often, that we can continue to learn. You learned a lot of things, actually. You also started gardening in this last year a little bit more intensely, right?
Yes. Yes.
Phyllis, we're coming to the end of the show. We're not going to have time for this amazing, you also have a wonderful poem. You have so many beautiful poems and just amazing work. If you ever wonder, I will catch that in the next interview. But in this time that we are in, if we can imagine where we would like to be, one is, of course, in the present moment, but where would you like to see our world if we are sitting here and can sow the seeds of the future, and if we can have a prayer for this ailing world that's in this amazing big shift, where would you like us to move towards?
It's a beautiful question. I would like us to be so still and so tuned in that we feel the breathing of the earth. And it breathes through us, with us, for us. We are not the center.
That is a beautiful image. Let the earth breathe through us, for us. Let us be visited by many inspired voices and muses and bring our gifts out and share them with each other. I thank you so much, Phyllis, for being on the show again. For everybody out there, I believe it's Phyllis Cole Dye, DAI.com, where they can connect with you, follow your blog postings, or if you're like me, go buy all our books so that you can take her with you to the woods, to the lake.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
It's always a privilege to be with you and your followers. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Many blessings. Bye-bye.
Peace.